Please stand as you are comfortable. Come, let us dwell in God's shelter. Let us come, because the earth is Lord's and God's earth is our home.
We live in God's world. We are not alone. We share this life with the heavens and the earth, with the waters and land, with the trees and grasses, with the fish, birds, and animals, with minerals and creatures of every form, and with all our brothers and sisters.
God is good, and everything God makes is good. God is love, and everything God makes is love's fruit. Let us worship God.
I'd like to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Roswell on this World Communion Sunday, on this almost first day of fall, in the middle of our rainy season. Welcome. Let's join our hearts and our voices together in worship this morning.
Together, let us affirm our faith. We are not alone.
We
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, and who's come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death and beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the Lord of the past, present, and future. Open our hearts so that we may discern your will and trust you in the choices that we make each day. Renew our lives so that we may always reflect your love in our encounter with others. Breathe in us new life so that we may be inspired to bring comfort to the afflicted, justice to the poor, and hope to those in despair. May we be attentive to the needs of our church and the communion we share. And by the strength of your Spirit, may we always be good stewards of your abundant grace. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
You may notice that there's a lot of laity involved in the service today. Our pastors are out of town, and Zelma is going to share with us our Old Testament scripture.
A reading from Genesis 1, 27 through 31. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, and we wish you a very welcome to our worship service today. We want you to take note in your bulletin as to all the activities that are involved in the church this week. We want to express our excitement and joy as one of our members, Brad Houston, is the honoree for the fair parade this week. Brad is a longtime member of our congregation and is well respected in the agricultural community. Matter of fact, I was in high school when Brad came to Roswell High to teach. He may be the only surviving teacher that I have because we all are getting a little bit older, but our joy and thanks to Brad and his service. We invite you to bring your prayer requests forward as we share our concerns and prayers together for those that are less fortunate and those that are suffering in our community and around the world. So join me as we sing, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Please come forward, or you can give your prayer request to the ushers. Open mine eyes that I may see, or kneel nor bow, no loss to me. Place on my hands a wonderful key, that shall unlock and make me free. Open the now, I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my eyes that I may hear. Open those mouths that let my tear. Place on my head the wonderful ear. Open the now I make for thee, Helen, my God, know me. Open the lips, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my now that I see there, I mean the Lord. If I may just share one other item for announcements, this Wednesday, Alex Tourman, who has served 20 years as a Christian missionary in Indonesia, will be with us. You probably realize that Indonesia is a Muslim country. Alex has a very interesting story to share. We invite you to come this Wednesday at 5:00 and have a dinner with us and stay to learn what Alex has to share in his missionary experiences in Indonesia. Now, if you will bow with me as we enter into prayer this morning. Our Father, come into our presence. Be with us as we bow and recognize that you have made mankind and earth. We realize, Father, that we are not worthy of your love and grace. We ask for your forgiveness where we have fallen short. We know that your forgiveness is available to us for the asking. We pray for all those that are suffering, whether we're suffering within our own family, whether we're suffering for health reasons, conflicts. We're mindful of those that are suffering because of the devastation of the hurricanes, fires, and other disasters around our country. We pray for the poor and afflicted. We ask for your blessing on all of these. We're mindful of those that serve our liberties in harm's way, protect our military and their families. Help us in all that we do. We're thankful for the blessings of your love, for family, for friends, and this church. Now join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now then, I would ask the ushers to please come forward for our morning offering. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity of our stewardship. Thank you for this church and its mission and this ministry. Help and guide us in all that we do, and may we be good stewards of thy resources, which we return a portion to you. Amen. Thank you.
So this would be a good time for you to turn to your neighbor or maybe someone across the sanctuary that you don't speak to every day and share the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we have you on your feet, would you mind remaining standing as you're able for the reading of the gospel message for this morning? This comes to us from Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So our pastors are out of town today, as I mentioned earlier, and they've asked some of us lay people to help conduct the service today, which we're doing. And they told me that what we should talk about today is stewardship. And this is the first of three stewardship Sundays that we're going to have. But I'm not going to ask you to get out your checkbooks, and I'm not going to ask you to sign a pledge card. We're not going there. That's not what we're going to be doing. But I would have to say that perhaps tithing, as important as it is, may be one of the smaller parts of stewardship. So what is stewardship anyway? I looked it up in a Merriam-Webster dictionary. Yes, those still exist, and some people use them, some of us dinosaurs. And it said that it is the activity or job of protecting and being responsible for something. How do we put this in the context of what it means to the church? How about responsible use of God's gifts to us? Zelma read us the Genesis 1 scripture this morning that reminds us that not only did God create everything in this universe, God created us and put us in charge of it. What does it mean for us to be responsible and to take care of things the way God expects us? Well, my first reaction is, really, God, what were you thinking? Have you looked at us? You put us in charge? But time and again, our Bible reminds us that everything we have has come from God. Now, businesses often have an inventory process where once a year or maybe quarterly, they make lists, take stock. Today, they do it with scanners of all the merchandise they may have or all the equipment in the business. Maybe this is something that we could do for ourselves. Ah, you probably saw in your bulletin that half sheet of green paper. And that is what that is for. That's an inventory sheet for us to use personally ourselves. And though I'm not going to ask you to fill it out right now, and you're not going to get a grade on it, and you don't have to turn it in, I would ask you to just consider the kinds of questions that this inventory is looking for us to answer. So, what do I have? What do you have? Maybe first we could consider our health. I'm very fortunate that I'm healthy enough still at 70 years of age to do quite a few things. You will have to evaluate your own health. How about family? Do you have family that supports you and sees you through the day-to-day life? Maybe you have church family that serves a similar purpose. Do you have a safe, dry home? Or are you like some of the people who are living in the river behind our house? Does your home provide some advantages that not everyone has? Does your income allow you to share with others? What tools do you have that might assist you in doing kingdom work? Maybe you have a car. Maybe you have a computer. No telling. You will have to evaluate and figure out what do you have that would assist you. And then, what about our abilities and our talents? Maybe you have the ability to actually make something physical, to build or create, to knit or to hammer and build. Perhaps you're good at repairing things. Have you read? Maybe you have studied the Bible. Could you share some of the knowledge that you have gained with somebody that's hungry to learn? Do you have some social skills tempered with a love of people? Do you have some ability to read and understand and write? These are things, these are gifts that God has given us. Are you willing to speak to people about what God has done in your life? We should consider where we are in life. What is our station in life? What does it look like? Maybe you are like me, retired, and thereby have a little more freedom in your schedule as to what you're going to do. How long have you lived in Roswell and worked here? Do you know a lot of people? Does this put you in a position to be able to make things happen in Roswell? Do you have children or grandchildren or other family who can assist you, support you, and give you ideas? So I ask you to take this blank list home and give it a little thought. And when you do, please don't overlook prayer as one of your gifts and one of your abilities. So I don't believe that our Lord requires flowery language or theologians' phrases in order for Him to hear our prayers. The Lord hears our common prayers in our own language, even thought prayers, breathed prayers, muttered prayers, and shouted prayers. I'm privileged to be a part of the Crossings Prison Ministry, and so on Tuesday nights I go out to Roswell Correctional Center, and part of what we do out there involves a closing prayer, which we wrap up with saying the Lord's Prayer. And I've noticed that those men shouted out with a strong voice, and you could probably hear us reciting the Lord's Prayer across the prison campus. But we also tend to say it, rote, memorized. And I fear that we don't listen to what we're saying. So the devotionals that I've been doing for the past few weeks have involved taking one line each week of the Lord's Prayer and talking about what does it mean. So we talked about what does it mean that God is our Father? What does it mean that He gives us our daily bread? Does that mean everything we desire, or does that mean enough to get by for today? So I ask you to think about becoming more deliberate and thoughtful in your prayer life. We read in Genesis that God has given us a charge. How can we live up to this responsibility? Remember, to be a good steward is to protect and be responsible. So I'm going to go a little farther into just two aspects of our care that God has charged us with, and maybe you'll be surprised, but the first one is care of ourselves, and number two is care for our neighbors. When I was a new firefighter and taking EMT training, becoming a medic, I went on a call. I was assigned to Engine 1 this Saturday afternoon, and on the engine with me were Smitty, the driver, and Rick. We called him Two Dogs, another firefighter with more experience than I, and the call came in as a man down at a specific address on North Kansas. So we jumped in the truck and we went as quickly as we safely could over there, pulled up in front of the house, and I bailed right off of the engine and went scooting up there to the house. And as I approached the house, I saw that there was a car parked in the yard, the driver's door was open, and there was a pair of feet sticking out of the car. And I began to think about what a man down might entail, and I turned around to look for my two companions, and they were sitting in the truck. They knew what I had probably been told, but I had forgotten, that when you're a first responder, the first thing you have to do is make sure that you are safe. Otherwise, you become a part of the problem. The story has an easy ending because it turned out to be a man who was working under the dashboard of his car, and that's just how he was positioned. But I failed my first test there, and I haven't forgotten that lesson. We have to figure out how to take care of ourselves. So how does God expect us to take care of ourselves? I'm sure that all of us have heard at some time and maybe many times, maybe every week, about how to eat healthy. That changes almost every week, doesn't it? But we know the basics of what we need to do to eat healthy, to keep our body healthy. And we also know that at least some physical activity is required for us to stay healthy. So those are things that should be natural for us that we should know by now. But I have become convinced the older I get that one of the most important things in our lives is our relationships. When we take good care of our relationships, life can be productive and rewarding. Most importantly, we were made for a relationship with God. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, we hear Jesus telling his followers that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are to abide in Jesus because without our connection to him, we can do nothing. Abide. What does he mean by this? What's going on here, Jesus? Abide in him? And it makes me think of something my dad used to say. He would refer to your home as your abode. And so we abide in our homes. We are called to abide in Jesus. Is your home your place where you are safe and comfortable, loved and supported? That's the kind of place that Jesus might be for us. Our home may be our place where our closest personal relationships are developed and lived out. Maybe that can be with Jesus as well. Is maybe Jesus, is he telling us that we need to spend our greatest amount of time with him? So how do I cultivate that kind of relationship with Jesus where I spend my greatest amount of time with him, where I abide with him? Well, when I asked myself this question, I began to think back on the things that this church has been teaching me now for 15 years. Daily reading of our scriptures is a grounding element in our lives. Prayer is so important to us. I mentioned it before. But prayer keeps us connected to Jesus. Having not only fellowship, but meaningful exchange with other Christians, with our church family, is an important way that we stay connected with Jesus, that we abide in Jesus. Let's turn to number two here. How are we to care for our neighbors? Now, I'd like to ask you, you can close your eyes if you want or not, but I'd like to ask you to try to picture that scene in the upper room on Jesus' last evening with his disciples. They've been having the Seder meal, but Jesus surprised them. He knows now that he is about to be arrested, tortured, and killed. He knows this is the last chance that he has to spend time with his closest followers. And always the teacher, he has another lesson to give them before he goes. So during the meal, he gets up from the table and he goes and gets a basin of water and a towel and he begins washing their feet. During this meal, Jesus is caring for his close friends in the way that a lowly hired servant or a slave would be expected to care for the guests. He is doing the most humble of tasks. And when he finishes, this is what Jesus says to his friends. Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, that is what I am. So if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What is Jesus talking about, washing feet? We don't do that much in Roswell, do we? I mean, you wash your own feet, you wash your baby's feet, but we don't wash each other's feet much. Maybe do you think that he's talking about humble service, about doing what needs to be done without seeking recognition, about maybe quietly taking up the job that God puts in front of us? Maybe the job that no one else wants to do? Could it involve being a good steward of the gifts that God has given me? Maybe using my resources of health and strength and time and finances and abilities to meet the needs of others? Well, you know how Jesus is. He wants to make sure that we understand his instructions. So in John 15, we find him quoted again. He says to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus says that we are to love one another as he has loved us. Not casual love, not sunny day love, not convenient love, but like Jesus loves us. What does Jesus' love look like? I was going to ask you to fill in the blanks here, but then we'd have to run around with a microphone. So if you have one on your mind, you're welcome to stick up your hand or shout it out. But these are notes that I made about what Jesus' love looks like. Jesus' love is accepting no matter who we are. Jesus' love is forgiving no matter what we have done. Jesus' love is humble, putting his own comfort last. Jesus' love is continuous, available to us time and time again. Jesus' love is faithful in obedience to God. Jesus' love is sacrificial, allowing us to despise and even kill him in order that he might save us. Jesus' love for God's people led him to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to seek out the outcast, to associate with the dirty, the poor, the immoral people, to teach essential truths to all who would listen. That's how Jesus loves. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And the command is to love one another as Jesus loves us. So, this is a time for a little self-searching, and it makes me uneasy and a little nervous to ask, just what does God want from me? Maybe your inventory of the various sorts of gifts that God has blessed you with can be a starting point for you to ask, what does God want of me? And Jesus reminds us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So maybe we could consider for a moment where we might invest our treasures. Maybe you can help this church form new disciples. Maybe you will be one of us to go to Fabens, Texas in early November and help to repair two homes for people who are unable to do it for themselves. I'd like to tell you a little glimpse into somebody's life here, because James Scott, one of our grade school children, was there in the fellowship hall in March when Pastor Francis Gonzalez came to talk to us about this work that needs to be done in Fabens. And James was so touched by what he heard that he began saving money. Now, he knew that he probably couldn't get out of school and go on this trip, but at this point, James has saved over $50 out of his nickels and pennies to help finance the materials for us to do this work in Fabens. Maybe you can start a new small group in this church. And we are taught that the small groups should be the backbone of the Methodist way. Maybe you'd like to help Mike White in his daily work that he has been doing on the grounds and the building here. Maybe you'd like to become a volunteer in Crossings Prison Ministry, where we desperately need two or three more men to come and volunteer to be out there on a weekly basis. Maybe you can help serve communion to those who are at home and can't make it to church. Have you ever thought about Pat Goodwin? Miss Pat is busy here at the church all day, all week long. Maybe she could use some help with the dozens of different tasks she does. Maybe you would like to go on October 10th to Waymaker Church and be one from this congregation to find out what we can do to help the Roswell Homeless Coalition address this problem of homelessness. It's getting to be wintertime, you know. Maybe you could help us start a new ministry to build some handicap ramps for disabled people in Roswell. Or maybe, John, could you use anybody in one of the choirs?
Oh, we certainly could.
Maybe you could join one of our choirs. Maybe you should talk to Tina or Laird about how you can start a new Wednesday night class. Or maybe you would like to help Christy, who cooks for us pretty much all day on Wednesday. Maybe you would like to help her prepare the meal or help clean up afterwards. Maybe you would like to commit to serious, regular prayer for the needs that are identified on our prayer cards from this congregation each week. Now, two of you from this congregation donated household items this past week for a couple who are on their way up out of homelessness. They managed to rent an old mobile home, but they had no furnishings. Yesterday, I was blessed to meet Larry and Jessica when I took your stuff to them. They have lived in shelters, and they have lived in a tent in the riverbed. Larry has a job now, and he wants to help other people who find themselves without a home to get on their feet as well. But he and his wife have a baby coming, and they've just found a place to live, and he knows, maybe he knows this lesson better than I, that he first has to provide a stable home for himself and his family before he can be doing a lot of other work. I want to tell you about one of our members and one of our staff who just came in from what she had done over at Aldersgate Church this morning. Stella, you appear to be in one piece. But I came to Stella and asked her to do the children's moment before we had decided that I was going to talk too long and we didn't have time for it. But Stella was No, I'm not comfortable doing that. Ask me something else, but that's not something that I feel like I can do. And so then Stella and I have texted back and forth a couple of times because I had to come back to her and ask her forgiveness because I was a little bit abrupt at the time she said no. And then she has come back and said to me, well, guess what? God persists in his call on us because now I'm going to give the sermon over at Aldersgate this morning. So she stepped out farther than what we had asked her to do. And then I hear secondhand that Julie says, her daughter says, Mom, sometimes God has to knock you on the head pretty hard. On the sixth day, God looked at what he had made and he put us in charge. Will we be God's good stewards of what he has given us? Amen.
Please be seated. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh, Kyrie.
My brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyous thing always and everywhere to give you praise, Creator of heaven and earth. You took the formless chaos, swept it across with your mighty spirit, and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You separated the heavens and earth, and brought forth trees and plants. You set sun, moon, and stars in the heavens, and called forth fish, birds, and all living creatures. You made us, creatures of your own image, to live in communion with you. We long for relationship with you, but in our humanness, we turn away. Yet you remain steadfast, calling us again and again to turn to you. For your grace and for all your mercies toward us, we join your people on earth and all the company of heaven in proclaiming your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit flowed through his life as he became the bridge for our reconciliation. In this time, we remember his life and work. We remember your gift of baptism. We reflect on the mystery of the cross. We dare to ponder resurrection. Especially we recall how Jesus took grain, grown by your sunshine and rain, ground by human hands into flour, mixed with water and made into bread, in honor of him who is the bread of life. And taking bread, blessing and breaking it, Jesus gave new meaning as he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We recall how Jesus took the cup with grapes grown in your sunlight, trod into juice for drinking, that we might know you and never thirst again. And taking the cup and blessing it, Jesus gave it new meaning as he said, "Drink from this cup, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." In remembrance of all your mighty acts on our behalf, we bring our whole selves to you as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ. Pour out your spirit on these, the gifts of your creation, grain, grapes, and us, your children. Make us see your touch in all of creation, and let us bring your light into every darkened shadow. Through Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen, amen. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. I invite those who are coming to assist us in serving of Holy Communion to please come at this time.
This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Veronica, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Zelma, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Nona, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Sandy, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Rich, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Steve, this is the body of Christ.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As Mike is coming to give us a call to discipleship and then to dismiss us, let me express on behalf of Laird and Tina our appreciation for the leadership that we have seen today from our laity.
Amen.
We thank you all very much.
So we are so excited that you are here today to worship with us on this World Communion Sunday, joined together with our brothers and sisters in Christ around this globe. And we want to tell you that if this is a day that you would like to join this congregation, we would welcome you to come up during the singing of our last song. Or if this is a day that you would like to make a public commitment about where you are going in your walk with Jesus, we welcome you to do the same. So now we have our closing song. Addiction. Let us go out to our homes and into this community with a resolve to use our gifts and our abilities in the building of God's kingdom on earth. Amen.